Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
I'm going to be really careful how I tell you this story, but I feel like you need to hear it.
Okay.
And I want your opinion on one matter in particular. We'll get to it.
Is this something that we may have all experienced and it's like one of those, oh, you hate when this happens?
I don't know if anyone else has ever experienced this. You tell me.
I assume that's how you live your life.
Yeah. So me and my husband this morning were playing a game of cricket.
Oh.
You know, as a young married couple would do with a morning off.
You said you got up at 8:45. What part of the morning was left to play a game of cricket? Was it obviously a sporting question? Was it like a test cricket, like a long session, or was it like T20?
No, it was a T20. It was Big Bash.
Any cricket's good cricket at
right?
the end of the day.
So, you know, one of us was batting, one of us was bowling. And
that's how cricket works.
As we were in the middle of our game.
During the drinks break?
No, it was right in the middle of the action.
Okay.
My husband stops everything he's doing.
It must be important to stop cricket.
And he said, don't panic. Stay there. I'll be back in a sec.
Ooh.
Excuse me? We're not scheduled for a drinks break for a little while longer. Like, what's going on? I haven't even finished my wicket yet. I know cricket terms, Tim. Yeah. Anyway, he comes back with a tissue and there is a spider on the wall behind my bed, the head of my bed. You know how terrified I am of spiders.
Wait, sorry, hang on just a second.
Yeah.
I thought you were playing cricket.
Indoors.
Why are you in the bedroom?
We were indoors playing
cricket.
Oh,
indoor cricket.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Obviously.
Sorry, I just wanted to clarify because I got confused about why there was a bed in the middle of an oval. And play on.
The spider was crawling on the wall.
Right, right.
And he grabbed it in a tissue, showed me proof of kill.
Oh, nice.
And we continued the game.
Okay.
And after the game, we were sitting in the club rooms and I said to him, why did you stop? Was that so important? He was like, I thought you would have panicked if you turn around and you saw there was a spider on the wall. So I just thought
you can't focus on your cricket.
Yeah.
If there's a...
Of course. A but I hadn't noticed the spider. And you know how much I am like, you know, a stickler when I see a spider. It needs to be out of my presence. Like, I'm not a catch and release kind of girl. I'm out for blood.
Bob Irwin would hate you.
Yeah, he really would.
Robert Irwin. He despises your kind.
But has that ever happened to you where you've seen, I mean, you're not as terrified of spiders as I am, but would you stop mid-cricket game to grab the spider?
Jess, I'm a little bit lost, but regardless, I'll never stop playing cricket.
Okay. There's nothing that
sometimes
can
I go to the nets and I play cricket by myself. If I can't find my wife, I'll still go have a session in the nets.
God, he's dedicated
just
to
work
his
on
sport.
The game. No, that hasn't happened for my local cricket team. Mm-hmm. We haven't had to stop. And you know,
I was appreciative that he got the spider, but I don't think I would have noticed mid game.
Right? Okay. Yeah. Because you want to get on your whites.
Okay.
Well, you don't. Like, the only thing you want is that red stain from the cricket ball,
of course,
on the pants of your whites. So, yeah, no. I've never, honestly, when I'm playing cricket, I only see the ball. There's nothing else I'm looking for. So maybe that is just a you thing.
This is Tim and Jess.
I was having a scroll through TikTok last night and came across a video that had me perplexed. First of all, I need to ask you, did you ever literally count sheep when you were a kid?
Probably. I can't definitely say yes, but sure. I also can't definitely say no.
I feel like it's like that old, it's like a very old fashioned thing to tell kids to do. Like, yeah. Oh, you can't sleep. Just close your eyes and count sheep.
I'm
right?
sure in a rage in my adult life as well. Yeah. There's like, you know how some nights you're just like, I just can't fall asleep. And you go, you know, I'll try the old trick in the book. I'll try counting sheep. And you're lying there going, one, two. You're just like furious at yourself that you can't get to sleep.
So this chick on TikTok was saying that she was talking to her partner about this and she said, oh, when you count sheep, like, you know, do you count them like one at a time, two at a time? Like, how many sheep are jumping over the fence? And he said, fence. What fence? And that's when she realized that people count sheep differently. So I have always, and I was exactly with her. I was like, what do you mean?
Well, I think there's videos or storybooks of
sheep literally jumping over a fence, right?
So it's one, and it wasn't accumulative. So it wasn't like the next one you see two sheep, because otherwise you get to 100 and 100 sheep jumping over the same fence at the same time would be insane.
You count one at a time. Yeah, one jumping over the fence,
yes,
right?
I've envisioned, when I think of counting sheep, there's a fence that they're jumping over.
Her partner imagines a whole field of sheep.
Just a paddock.
Just walking around. And he's counting them all individually.
Oh, his is like a game of how many sheep are in the paddock.
Yes.
That's not... Well, I understand that
that would be counting sheep. That would be a harder way of doing it.
Because then in your mind's eye, you've got a picture and you have to randomly assign. Because you're in control of how many sheep... I'm trying to do it now. You're in control of how many sheep are there.
Yeah.
So I'm picturing...
I can't picture more than six sheep if I do it like that.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
It feels overwhelming.
You would be a terrible sheep farmer. You'd be the worst shepherd ever. Oh, you want me to? How many sheep you want me to get for the paddock?
52232955. We may not get a caller. I would love to hear from someone that counts sheep without a fence.
Yeah, because there's definitely in the picture books and the
storybooks. When you're asked to count sheep, you count them jumping over a fence, right? Is there anyone out there on 52232955? That literally counts them like in a paddock. You've got a field of sheep and you're counting how many there are.
That sounds like a game that would be in a kid's magazine.
Yes.
How many sheep are in the paddock? You've got to do it. But I understand that counting sheep is, that's more the way that this TikTok person's boyfriend is doing it. It's probably more a better description of counting sheep.
Well, I mean, how often, like I'm not a farm person, but.
Farmer.
Yeah.
It's probably just a normal way to say that.
How often would you see a sheep jump a fence?
I've seen it happen in real life before.
You have?
On the farm. Right. Pye's farm. I didn't fall asleep immediately.
Immediately. No, it was after two or three.
Yeah. After about 20, I start going off to the land of Nod.
Denise from Mount Dunead, you have an unusual method.
I'm a little rogue on mine, I think. And just had always envisioned this sheep jumping over a moon, like a cow jumping over a moon.
No. Okay. Oh, like no, that's where I'm seeing that.
So they're jumping over a moon, you know?
Because the cow jumps over the moon.
The cow jumped over the moon.
The spoon ran away with his daughter. Denise, initially, you're right. When you said that the sheep were jumping over the moon, I was like, hang on. Yes, I've also...
She's nailed it.
But no, that's cow and spoon related.
What made you go straight to the moon, Denise?
Oh, no. Maybe because it's nighttime.
Yeah.
And then you think, okay, they're jumping. So they've got to jump for some reason. I never thought that
jump.
Ever.
Never seen
they're never
a
in a paddock.
That's amazing.
It makes no sense to me. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, makes sense. I guess, yeah, they do. Farmers count sheep in paddocks all the time. I'm married to one. Why not? Why wouldn't I go there? Nope.
Are we ignoring the question, is there a fence on the moon?
Oh.
In your mind.
No.
It's the large moon.
The moon is like the fence kind of thing.
And I'm assuming that I'm picturing that the sheep are much like larger than the moon, like they can physically jump.
Oh, yeah,
over.
Or is that just perspective? Are we? Because then we're losing sight of it. Well, Denise, I think it still works. I think it's still easier than creating an imaginary number, and then it's your job to count how many sheep are in a paddock.
So stressful.
Yeah, because in your mind you're going, I hope I got it right. But
you're going to sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, does the moon have a face, Denise?
No, never a face.
Don't be ridiculous, Jess.
I don't do this anymore. Come on.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
As adults, confronting our fears is something that we like to talk a lot about on the show. Jess, I'll be honest, you take up a lot of the space when we talk about fears.
I have many a fear.
You'll just list all these things and then at the end I'll go, oh, I don't like dying. I don't want the idea of dying. And then that's kind of how it normally goes.
It's amazing I leave the house every single day, honestly, with the amount of fears that I have.
Right. I think I've remembered that I have another fear. And being a fully grown, like, you know, mostly tax-paying adult that that has fears.
The ATO is really on us this week. They really are.
But, because you think most of us, right, we think we're pretty put together. We go, you know what? I make my own doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
I service my own car.
You got a wife. You got a son.
Got all these things. You go, all right, I'm an adult, except I need someone else to deal with that.
Right.
Don't want to have to deal with that. Just, I know that you've had this space occupied for a while, but like, give me your top three right now, biggest fears.
The ocean,
mm-hmm.
Spiders,
yep.
Moths.
Moths.
They're probably top three.
I understand the first two, but sure. I've re-remembered a fear of mine, and I've never, like, since a child, and then I overheard a phone call, Jess, that you were having with your husband today, and you said a word, and it was like, say if you had like arachnophobia and someone said like spider, and then it was there, you get the chill up your, the thrill up your spine.
I mean, we did talk about it a little bit earlier in the show. Like,
well, I heard the words pressure cooker.
Oh.
And I got terrified. I remembered how much I hate pressure cookers.
I've never used one really as a kid. So we bought a pressure cooker just a few months ago and we've been using it lately. And the fear of that thing exploding.
Have you seen the photos of what a pressure cooker that hasn't been sealed properly and exploded does?
No.
Oh, my word. It enters the kitchen. Like, it enters the cabinets. It enters the...
Good Lord.
The range hood. It's terrifying. And we had one growing up. And if something hisses in the kitchen, should you be using it to cook?
Well...
I'd rather hear a snake in my kitchen hiss than that...
Yeah, it does freak me out.
And then when you finally finish using the pressure cooker, you know, as again, I'm 31, you know, I like to think I've got my life together. I'm standing as far away as I physically can, maybe even holding a wooden spoon to press the button to let the pressure out of the pressure cooker.
Yeah. We have like a little knob, so we just turn the knob slightly and it like releases just a little bit of time.
And like growing up, Dad used to think it was the funniest every time you take the lid off because you're standing back like it's going to explode like a bomb. He'd go bang and you just like it would hit the kitchen bench or do something, and it was terrifying. And even now I'm waiting.
Do you have the pressure cooker?
Absolutely not.
Really?
Do you have a rifle in your house, Jess? That's the same question you're asking me. Do you have a grenade in your kitchen?
It's not that bad.
Because they're like, think of all the ways as human beings how we've evolved to cook things. First they were like, The fire is good. We cook fire. This is great. And then there was all these things. We use steam. We use all these different levels of heat. We can even use cold temperatures. Some bastard was like, immense pressure. This is how we will cook things.
I want to push it.
Just like,
as hard as I can.
As hard as it can. So much so that you can't just take the lid off because it will literally explode in your kitchen. And yeah, we'll sell it at like Harvey Norman.
Follow the instructions.
No.
And you won't explode it everywhere. That's that easy.
That's what they want you to think.
Okay.
I bet you the guy that invented grenades said the exact same thing. Tim and Jess, the podcast. Jess, do we have anyone that's banned from listening to the show?
No, we do give 24-hour bans sometimes.
Swears?
If you drop a swear, you are banned from the show for 24 hours.
It was uncomfortable the day you accidentally did swear.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's Tim and Jess. But you were banned, and we upheld that. And those are the rules. If you need a day off, just drop a swear. That's what we say here. on the show, but
that's why you haven't been here for most of April.
Yeah, I just went on an absolute rant. I was like, that should probably be about 2 weeks all up off.
God, I thought you were going to do it. I just had a little heart attack. Oh my God!
No. We've got it. We've got a fail safe button.
Yeah.
That erases history. The words have never been said before. So don't worry. If I ever go on a rant, you know how to stop it. Have you ever been banned from a location, from a place?
No.
Never been banned from a place. People are being threatened by Disney with lifetime bans for people who claim false disabilities to skip lines at parks. Apparently, at Disneyland in America, this is a very common thing, which is awful.
So if you have a genuine disability, you do get to skip lines and you don't have to wait in the... Like, sometimes those Disney lines can be up to 3 hours long.
Mm.
So if you do have a disability, you can go and to skip the line. But a lot of people have been taking advantage of that.
So people have been banned for life after being caught out that they're taking advantage of the system. Because I know that there's three levels of lines at Disneyland or whatever. Mm. There's like the standard line, there's the fast track line that you pay like hundreds of dollars for, but that line itself is still very, very long. But apparently it's like, if you don't buy the fast track one, what are you even...
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, you don't, you won't get on a ride.
5223-2955. You can stay anonymous. We love when people call up and don't want to say who they are. Where have you been banned from?
Yeah.
And what for? I was reminded recently of a ban that I had imposed on me from my now wife's ex-boyfriend. He banned me.
I wasn't going to bring it up. I thought I'd let you bring it up.
No, he banned me. He was a pub manager, and he banned me from the pub.
Yep.
And it was a shame because...
You stole my missus.
I didn't steal his missus. If he took care of her, I wouldn't have to take her.
That's it.
I didn't take her. She's not an object.
As they say in the biz, Jim, suck eggs.
No. My wife is not property. I didn't take her from anybody. I just happened. I didn't even know this guy. And he was like, oh, I can't believe you do this to a friend. I was like, I don't know your last name, bro. What are you talking about? Yeah. This is not something that I don't understand.
We got banned from the one a pub in town that was genuinely decent.
Yeah, this is when we were living in another state when we were doing the radio show elsewhere. Not in town. No pub is brave enough to ban me.
No.
Not a single pub in Geelong would ban me. They don't have the stones to do it. Mm-hmm. But again, if you want to stay anonymous, completely understand. Where have you been banned from? Or is it a self-imposed ban or something that's in your household and your partner goes, no, you can't go there because every time you go to Spotlight, you spend $400 on cushions and sewing needles.
Yeah.
So no, Stephanie, you can't go to Spotlight anymore. Dylan from Newcombe's giving us a call. Dylan, when you were younger, you got banned from somewhere. Where was it? What was it for?
I got banned from Spotlight about the age of 11 or 12.
Just knitting too much, Dylan.
Yeah. No. So I grew up the rest of my, from my teenage years in residential care just because it was a bit hard for mum to cope with having like four kids and half of them, three of us having disabilities. So I ended up living in DHS care, residential care for the rest of that time. So my housemates used to nick stuff from there. So I'll be out. So I make a few extra pennies taking the trolleys back because they don't have the pins in the trolley bag.
Of course,
I got banned because of that.
Oh, damn. So you got lumped in with the other guys.
Yeah.
Oh, rough.
I mean,
are you unbanned now, Dylan?
I am unbanned.
Yes. Okay, that's good. Good to hear, Dylan. We appreciate your call. Abby from Herne Hills giving us a call. Also, when you were younger, Abby, did you get banned from somewhere?
Yes. Yeah, so when I was in primary school, I went to primary school at Clifton Springs and they have the Bunyip Festival every year. And I was doing the go-kart races and I got banned from that because I was just horrible at steering. So I was running over the witch's hat and they kept getting stuck under the wheel. And yeah, they were like, okay, you've had enough. You're not allowed on here anymore.
This girl is a menace to society.
So was it just the person that you would give the ticket to or at the front of the line and they would say, Abby, what you know, we've just set the cones out. It took us 20 minutes.
Sorry, no Abby's allowed, no Abby's actually. Allowed. I've got a sign here.
Once they banned you, was it hard to not be like, well, now it's the forbidden fruit. Of course I want to keep going now that I'm banned.
Well, at that age, of course. I just was like, excuse me, I can drive, obviously. But yeah, you need to let me back on this ride. And they were like, no, we're not risking you breaking one of our go-karts. And I was like, oh, okay.
If the same company was still doing the go-karts at the Clifton Springs School doing the Bunyip Fest, do you think now, going back all these years later, they'd recognise you? Or do you think you could get on one of those karts and prove them wrong?
Look, I was a pretty chubby kid and I've been blessed with losing weight throughout my pregnancy. So I hope they wouldn't recognise me,
once you see a criminal's eyes, you never forget them, Abby. So it's all about the eyes.
What about Vic Rhodes, exactly, Abby? Have they thought about banning you from the real Rhodes? Or...
I mean, I don't know. I think it was just placed on like the footy oval and the hats are just on the footy oval.
Yeah.
All right, well. Abby, if they don't know, we'll pass it on and we'll send them a current photo of you to make sure that ban is upheld. We appreciate your call. Jess, what I'm thinking, this could be a lot of fun. If there are any business owners that are willing to impose a ban on you and I.
Why?
Just let me get there. So they impose a ban on us, but then we'll try and go in undercover. And if we can purchase a product, say if it's a pub and we can go in and buy a meal or we go into a shop and buy something without them detecting us, then we've won and we've shown that. No ban.
That's brilliant.
No ban can hold us.
Well, give us a call, 522-232-955, if you want us banned from your establishment.
This is Tim and Jess.
Once a week, we invite you into a safe place where many things are said, you know. It's a safe place to say these sometimes confronting things, Jess, the courtroom of Tim and Jess. But we think it's helpful because even if we argue and we yell at each other, someone else is going to decide who's right. Then mm-hmm. we just have to deal with it.
It doesn't matter what you have to say or me, Tim. The only opinion that matters is that of our judge.
This is the courtroom of Tim and Jess.
Tim and Jess. You are about to enter the K-Rock courtroom of Tim and Jess. The cases are real. The stories aren't always important. The rulings are final. This is your courtroom. You be the judge.
Court is in session, Jess. Your husband is... I don't know how he does it.
That was a very common thread on our wedding video. Yeah, a lot of people being like, thank God Akshay came along.
Yeah.
Finally, take you off our hands.
Yeah. A lot of...
Some of my closest
friends. I was trying to think of something to stand by you with, but coming up blank at the moment.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's all right. You were saying that you find yourself doing the same little dance every single night at home. This has been going on long before you got married.
Yeah, 100%. Long before we even properly lived together. We have the conversation about, okay, one of us has made dinner. Doesn't really matter who. Do we leave the dishes in the sink, which is my preference, and go to sleep, and we'll deal with them in the morning. That's easy. I can get them done tomorrow. Or does the whole kitchen need to be cleaned, or as my husband refers to it, as reset before the next day?
Here's my thing from what you were saying. You were saying, whatever you do, you'll go, I'm going to leave it. But you know that he will do it anyway.
He can't handle not resetting the kitchen. Yeah. He's like, this is like a space that we use a lot. If we just put everything away before we go to sleep, we wake up tomorrow, it's reset. We can start again.
Dishes are way worse to do in the morning because it's harder to get all the grease and stuff off things.
I disagree. Like, I hate, I've just, you know, I'll go home after the show today at 6 o'clock. And even if Akshay started making dinner, I'll probably help out a little bit.
You'll take over and go, that's cute you tried, but mama's home.
Don't ruin it. And then I will be exhausted because I've just had a whole almost 6 hours of work.
I thought we got told we weren't allowed to use the E word anymore with this job. Not allowed to be exhausted, and rightly so.
And then, you know, I get to the point where I'm like, I'll get up maybe in an hour or so.
But see,
can't be bothered. I'll just leave it till tomorrow.
But see, you know that he's going to do it if you don't. So you don't really have a buy-in for this because you know that if it doesn't get, you've never had to face the next day. Because it's always done.
Sure.
So it's not like you don't actually know how much of a pain it is the next day. And it's I understand because sometimes, like after you've had dinner, whatever, I'm not even related to dishes. One of the worst things is like cleaning up, whatever. You're like, all right, let's go to bed. You walk into the bedroom and there's a basket of laundry on the bed. And you go, oh, you son of a. And then you go, no, we'll just do it in the morning. It is so annoying how quick it is to put clothes away.
Yeah.
But it seems like a thing. And I think that's where you're at with the dishes. But you know that if you don't do it, it's going to get done. Whereas, say, if I didn't do it, it just wouldn't get done. 5223295 Do you have to do the dishes before you go to bed?
Yeah.
Because if you don't have a dishwasher, then that's also a whole other thing
on top
of it.
We do have a dishwasher. But I just...
Congrats.
Okay.
Exhausted from earning all that money.
Okay.
Money.
You also have a dishwasher.
I'm equally exhausted having all this money to buy dishwashers.
I just don't think it's not necessary to get all the dishes done before we go to bed. Who cares? Live a little.
It's not like, woo, I'm 21. I don't do the dishes. It's just, I think, you know, it's time. It's just so much easier to do it done at night.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't have to think about it. And again, because you have zero consequences if you don't do it, I don't know. Give us a call. This is the part where you be the judge. The first person to call through, whatever they say, it becomes law. Imagine being in such a privileged spot in your relationship where you're like, oh my God, I hate when my husband just does the dishes so I don't have to do it. Isn't he the worst? Girlies, isn't he the worst?
He had a go at me the other day because I walked straight past the two very full bins. He was like, you know, you can also take these outside, right? That's a boy's job.
Right.
I won't be doing that.
How very 2005 of you. So that's what we're asking in the courtroom of Tim and Jess. Can you go to bed without doing the dishes? It just seems like it's easy to do at night because the next morning you go, it's already a job. Before now you've got up, you've got a job straight away instead of a clean slate. Nicole from Torquay is our judge today. Good afternoon, Your Honour.
Hello.
Do you have a dishwasher? This is where we're kind of getting into it, because I've lived in both situations where I haven't had a dishwasher or I have had one. And
I don't think it matters.
Yeah, no, I do have a dishwasher now, but I've also lived without one.
Okay. Mm. Nicole, talk us through the situation. What's your living situation? Is it you and your partner? Are you living alone?
Yep, married, yep. Two kids.
Okay, all right. So you have a lot of dishes. Yeah, yeah. And what's the vibe when it comes to your dishes of an evening? Tonight, you'll go home, you'll make some dinner. What's the expectation?
Well, unlike your house, I've checked, and if I leave them till tomorrow, they don't run away or clean themselves. So I feel like I have better things to do with my night sometimes than that, and they can wait.
They can wait.
See? But Jess, Live your life, Nicole.
But Jess, so just quickly, just currently, any kids?
No.
Any responsibilities outside this job?
I have a cat. She is my responsibility.
How many dishes is Penny the cat using?
Two every day.
Because I hadn't considered, because my whole thing with a dishwasher, if you get caught in the backlog where you can't stack it and put it on that night.
Yeah.
Like last night, we did a big cook up for lunch, big cook up for dinner. So everything for dinner had to be hand washed or left in the sink. And I was like, I don't know why, but like the dishwasher gods looking over me were like, well, you've made a mistake today, boy. So Nicole, but you're thinking there's better things to do than at the end of the day, you just want to go to bed. You can leave it, it'll come back tomorrow morning, you'll get it done. Even though in Jess's fantasy land, it never happens.
And to be fair, I also stuck to this before having as many dishes.
Wow.
Because you've got to make sure the dishwasher's full, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And that might take 2 days.
Okay. Nicole, I think maybe we should change this. Instead of should you do the dishes before you go to bed, should Jess do the dishes before going to bed? But
Nicole, I've got a good setup here. Why would I change things, right?
That's hard to argue with.
Yeah, yes. Fair enough. She's a fair but honest judge, and that's what we need. Thanks, Nicole.
Come on. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.